I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 528 for Sunday, August 20th, 2017 are Eric Anderson.
Hey, folks.
Richard Grady.
Hello, everyone.
And Tim Hicks.
Release the Kraken.
Wrong show, right?
That's right. Wrong episode.
We're not doing a rum
cast. Wrong episode. So tonight, we actually have a different topic. We're not talking rum this time. Although, as Tim indicated, having a little rum on board might help. We're going to be talking Blue Sky, newer Disney movies. That's the best I could come up with to call it. We're looking at ways that some of these newer Disney movies that really aren't seeing their way into the parks just yet might find expression in various attractions in any of the U.S. Disney parks. And we'll talk more, I think, as we go through the show about which movies we considered. But, you know, we're really talking here about films from, for the most part, the most recent decade, and in most cases, even more recent than that. But before we delve too deeply into that discussion, I need to thank our podcast sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mouse Master Travel Group. The Mouse Master Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mouse Master agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. Okay, so wide open floor here. Anybody have a Blue Sky concept that they're just dying to share?
Well, I think before we jump into that, we need to dispel the viral Disney.net thing about the Typhoon Lagoon overlay.
Okay. Okay.
How many of you have seen that? But it is clearly fake news. Although I do think that a Moana type overlay at Typhoon Lagoon would be intriguing.
Right. So, you know, obviously one of the films that's up for discussion here, up for exploration, is Moana, most recent of the animated Disney film releases. And so far, you know, Moana's gotten some expressions and character meet and greet, you know, opportunities in parks and out at Aulani. They've made really good use of her character at Aulani, but, you know, no rides, no permanent show or well-established show, nothing more than a meet and greet. So that's definitely one that's, you know, in consideration here. But you open your mouth first, Tim. So, you know, I'm going to pin you down and call on you to share your first Blue Sky concept with us.
Okay, well, I'm gonna continue on that thought with Moana. And you said that Moana's been shown a little bit of love out at Aulani, and I'm wondering, because my first trip to Aulani is going to be this December, is how is that competing, if it is at all, with Lilo and Stitch? Because that seems to be the most appropriate overlay for Hawaii. But, you know, then again, now you've got two different intellectual properties that have to do with Hawaii. You've been out there, yes?
I have not. Eric or Richard, have either of you ventured out to Aulani? I thought, Eric, you were considering it at one point.
Yeah, I was out there a few years ago and almost to the day. But but yeah, they were doing a lot of Lilo and Stitch stuff or character meet and greet opportunities out there for Lilo and Stitch. But you know, it's a pretty big place, so I don't think having, you know, another intellectual property out there would, you know, infringe too much upon what they're doing with Lilo and Stitch. They weren't out there all the time. It was, you know, pretty limited theming, I guess. I mean, they're not huge on the Disney theme overall, but you know, it's more just kind of an additional thing that's you know, they own the right property, so they can roll the characters out,
but they're not in your face like they are in the parks.
Exactly, it's not a big deal, but it is something that, you know, some of the kids get excited about. So I'm sure they'll get excited about Moana too.
going to say, but with now you've got two intellectual properties that are Hawaii based, I think they would really be missing the boat if they didn't take advantage of it, at least to some extent.
Okay. So what's the concept? What would you like to see, from Moana at Aulani that's not, meet and greet, which they essentially have, you know, a Moana, meet and greet, and she's got some presence, at their luau now.
Oh, okay, cool. I did not know that. But the two movies are so different in that Lilo and Stitch is really focused on the characters, and Moana has more of the feel of, you know, of nature, of the volcano, of, you know, the water, of the sea life, of the lore of the Hawaiian Islands. So, what can they do with it? I think there are probably a lot of things that they could do with it in terms of using the Moana characters to even further highlight, you know, call it a museum if you will, but that's not really the concept I'm after here. More of, you know, tell us the story of the Hawaiian Islands, you know, as the Hawaiians would tell us, you know, as the Native Samoans might tell us, but utilize the Disney property to do so. It's obviously, you know, it's not a theme park, so you're not going to do a big ride or anything that's based on it. But you could probably, I don't think it would be any big deal at all, especially if it's as large of a place as you're talking about, Eric, to devote some space to that sort of a concept. You know, tell us the story of Hawaii.
Well, I mean, it seems to me, if we're going to play blue sky here a little bit, you know, they've got some opportunities to do some different water activities there at Aulani. They've got kind of a cove that, you know, you can do some different kinds of things. And it seems to me that this would be a great opportunity to do sort of a fun themed catamaran shack.
Right? There you go. That's exactly the sort of thing I would think of.
Yeah.
Only if you have the funny looking chicken to go on the catamaran with you.
Well, it's perfect, right? I mean, so you call it Hey Hey's, you know, Hey Hey's Catamaran Jack or something.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be, it can still be somewhat subtle. It doesn't have to be totally in your face, but it can incorporate, you know, something that people who do identify the film and have fun with the film would sort of recognize and have fun with it. Anybody else who sees it and who you know, isn't into the movie wouldn't be necessarily put off by it. It just is superfluous if not.
Right. Something that, you know, that the Disney fanatics can identify with, but it's not, as you said before, not totally in your face.
Right.
It's just something that somebody that's not involved with it would just go, oh, look, isn't that cute? But, you know, it wouldn't just completely turn them off.
Yeah. Well, so Richard, do you have a more specific exploration here of one of these new films that you'd like to see in a Disney park?
Well, yeah, because I actually went with an entirely different take on Moana.
Excellent. Let's hear about it.
So I figured actually I was going to stay in Florida and I was just going to commandeer some land in Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach, but really Typhoon Lagoon is the one where it fits, because I figured Moana, it's a water ride waiting to happen, right? And if you're going to do a water ride, you may as well make them actually, you know, get people really soaking wet. You know, like think Kali River Rapids, except that people already want to get wet because that's a water park. So I figured, you theme it on the whole, like you're at the point where they're trying to return the heart to Tafiti, and you've got to dodge around you know, Tafiti's wrath, basically. So do a water slide, but do one of the ones that they use the water jets to do the tighter turns and the banked higher speed things. So it's an actual, you know, thrill water ride closer to a water coaster, and do something along that line.
Right. Something then, using the tech like even the Aqueduct uses.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Use a larger raft. So you're going to sit, you know, 6 to 8 people. Try and use a continuous load mechanism or as close as you can get so that they're being able to shoot one of these rafts out every, you know, 30 seconds to a minute. And then if not faster. And then when you get to the bottom, instead of the ride stopping, it dumps you into like a lazy river or something. So then now you can enjoy the rich, bountiful area that since the heart has been returned, everything calms down. And you know, the lazy river will circle back around, so you can get out kind of at any point, But if you want to do the water ride, the thrill ride, you got to climb back up the stairs.
Right, right. So it's a little bit, in some ways, adopting, we're seeing more of these attractions that are hybrid roller coaster dark ride kinds of things. And it's almost applying that same kind of concept to a water coaster.
Yeah, and that's, there are plenty of, thrillish rides at the water parks. There's got to be room for one more. And like I said, this, to me, the whole Moana, I was thinking the sailing and the, the bit where Maui's teaching her how to sail. I can't really incorporate that without a long thing, but I can give people the experience of whipping around, trying to dodge, volcanic eruptions and the lava and, all sorts of things coming at them and make it fun. And coincidentally, soak them while we're at it.
Of course. All right. So we've gotten a couple of Moana ideas out there. Eric, do you have a Moana concept?
I, in fact, do. Actually, okay. I think one of the things that I took away from watching Moana was sort of the it's like a Pan-Pacific Island thing. It's not really a monoculture. They've kind of grabbed pieces from several different Pacific Island cultures. Kind of like the Polynesian Resort in Walt Disney World. So I feel like this isn't going to be a ride. It's just going to be sort of incorporating some of those Moana characters and themes into a resort experience. And where I'd like to do most of this is dealing with the luau at the Polynesian. It's gotten kind of long in the tooth. It doesn't have really that. The air of authenticity that even other luau shows in the area have. So I figure we'll just start from scratch. Have a dinner there in that area. Have Moana characters involved, and also maybe retain some of the pieces of this show. But get a better story going. So maybe incorporate other cultures besides just like Hawaiian culture. But like I said, bring in the characters, Moana, Maui. Probably don't serve chicken. That might be a little,
I don't know. The menu gets pretty narrow if you can't serve chicken or pork.
Well, not serving pork. That's just crazy.
Doesn't Boa's name basically mean pork?
Yeah. So just have a dinner and a show, but like I said, incorporate the characters, make it give a little more plot to the show. Maybe it's kind of traveling around the islands. You've got buildings, the longhouses named after a lot of different Pacific Islands. So, grab something from each one of those, put it in the show, and...
Okay, so let me suggest this. Perhaps Maui is the narrator of this show.
Let's do it.
Well, you could do like Maui and Moana, that they are traveling, use the same kind of improv riff that they do for the narrators of the Frozen Ever After.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that same humor, play off each other, but it's the two of them having continued a voyage.
Right. And they could tell the story of their continuing, journeys through and going back to what Eric started with, the different, the islands represented by the different longhouses.
How far they'll go. Yeah.
And maybe you light up, you could do something with, LED lighting on top of the longhouses so that it's not enough light that it really annoys people who are in the longhouses, but just enough so you see it over the horizon kind of thing. All right. Well, so we've done sort of a whole round robin worth of Moana concepts. Who wants to take us in a new direction?
Oh, I have one.
All right. Take us somewhere else, Richard.
All right. So now that they've destroyed, Disney Quest, I had an idea to salvage part of it.
Okay.
So I was thinking like we had Doctor Strange. If you remember Disney Quest, they had the cyberspace mountain. Yeah. Where you could design your own roller coaster. For those who never did it, it's basically a two-person capsule. You design a coaster. The thing will spin. It'll do a full inversion, and it can tilt up and down, but that's really about all it does. So I'm thinking, take that same kind of ride vehicle, maybe make it a little bit bigger, because you're going to hold a few people, but you still want full, like, five-point harness kind of thing for this. Put it on a larger gimbal arm so it can go up and down, it'll tilt forward. You feel like you're falling. It'll tilt all the way back, like you're lying on the ground. It'll do that slow inversion.
Okay, so the full Forbidden Journey KUKA arm.
Yes. So it'll, you can go 360 in any direction. It's a nice spin there, nice gyroscopic bit. Doctor Strange, basically it's a journey into the other dimensions as Doctor Strange and you are trying to deal with, take your pick of a villain. But you had that whole, the whole Inception kind of thing where the reality is bending and now you're on the side of the building. And as the building tilts, so do you. And so you're not getting flipped over immediately, but you will experience a full inversion. And now you're upside down and chasing after someone. Basically, so your ride vehicle can move, it'll invert, it'll flip, turn around, and reorient itself. And then I figured you could make it a random sequence so that for some of the rides, sometimes you ride it and it tilts to the left and then it goes back and then it goes right. And the next time, maybe it goes right and then a full upside down and then right back to the right and then back upside down, a 360, and, take that same Star Wars different mission bit.
Right,
or
right.
Tower of Terror, where it's a random sequence of here's how you move. And then on a certain percentage of the rides, 10 or 15%, at the two-thirds or three-quarter point, Strange says, Dormammu, I've come to bargain. And then whatever the last three or four move sequences it did, it redoes.
Right. Dormammu, you get the loop.
And it does it about three or four times, and then the ride's done.
Okay, but if you're going to do that, you've got to get a really awesome Dormammu, animatronic plus effect.
Well, again, since you're in this thing that's being projected onto a screen, you could do that.
So no, but I'm saying. I think that moment, if you're going to make somebody go through the same thing repeatedly, you got to give them a real animatronic.
You really can't skimp on your animation there.
Exactly. You got to get a real picture.
Got to be good.
Or a real effect.
Don't end up with disco Dormammu.
Right, yeah. Right.
But I think it's by making it a video image, you're not going to get that same, it's not going to be frozen the same way.
Right, right.
So you're basically saying you can repurpose the machines and equipment from Some of All Thrills?
Well, he's saying he wants to go like a generation past us, because the Some of All Thrill arms were somewhat limited, and the ones that they use over at Universal on Forbidden Journey are sort of the same technology, but a little bit more robust. And so he's pushing it at least that far and maybe a step further even.
Well, that would be cool. Well, let me toss on to that one, because the one and only time that I got to see Doctor Strange, it was on the Disney Dream and in 3D. And let me tell you, if you haven't sat up close and watched Doctor Strange in 3D, that is really, it's mind-bending. So that's the kind of experience I would expect off of something like that, too, is something that's just really so graphically intensive that it's just really mind-bending.
All right. So, Richard, where are you going to put that?
I have no idea.
If you could pick anywhere, where would you put it?
It's probably going to have to go in DHS. I mean, it's still a movie property more than anything else. It doesn't really fit in.
Okay, but we now know officially that there are movie properties coming into Epcot, including Guardians, coming into the Ellen's Energy Adventure space.
I think I'd still put it in DHS. DHS really, even when they add the Star Wars land, I don't want it to be a case of, if you don't care about Star Wars, you don't go.
Okay. Here's why I'm pushing it. Because it occurs to me that there's a way, I think, there's an argument that what you're describing is a better utilization and realization of the Imagination Pavilion than the current version of Journey into Imagination.
Works for me.
You know, I mean, the space is probably big enough to handle it because you don't need, you need some space so you can move the KUKA arms, but because you're using KUKA arms, you don't need as much space as you would otherwise because it's part simulation, part actual physical motion. Right. So I think it would fit in the footprint, maybe. I don't know, just a thought. And did anybody else have Doctor Strange concepts in their blue sky imaginings?
I have it listed in my IPs, but I just haven't been able to come up with an answer that would fulfill what I would expect or would want to come up with on that.
All right. So we've got an animated project so far from, you know, Moana. We've got a Marvel feature with Doctor Strange. I don't know, Eric, you have another property that you wanted to spin out a blue sky story for us?
I do, yeah. I'm interested in working on a Big Hero 6 roller coaster.
Okay, so I'm listening carefully because I have a Big Hero 6 coaster on my list as well. So go ahead.
Okay, so what I'm thinking about is it's going to be inside. I'm not sure where I'm going to put it, but it's going to be inside. I want to have two tracks, kind of like the Dueling Dragons thing over at Universal. But I'm going to have cars themed after all the characters. And what I'd like to do is you have two cars going at the same time, but I'd like to vary the combination of which characters are out there. And I'm also going to use some holograms. I want to have these roller coasters going through, various battles with things.
Okay.
I'd like to see. So if you're in, say, the Wasabi car, for instance, you'd see the other characters around, doing battle with something, and then you'd come through and you'd see, whatever they were fighting, kind of affected by your attack as you go through.
Okay, so as the Wasabi car came through, you'd see the flailing laser arm things.
Right. So that would hit the monster or whatever.
Right.
Do some damage to it, or Baymax, shoots
a fist.
shoots a fist at something, that sort of thing. But you're also seeing other characters' attacks hit the monster. But this is all projected in this space. But you've got another car there too. So as you go past each other, maybe both attacks hit the monster. If you're going by the same thing, and you see that, and you can see, since we're blue skying this,
right,
have a projection around the other car so that, in the darkness, you'd be seeing, this projection around the other car of the character. And then, by kind of staggering, what car is in play, you'd have all different combinations of characters out there. So it wouldn't, you have some variation in what you'd see as you, rode different times during the day, different cars, et cetera.
Sure.
And I just think that it kind of emphasizes the teamwork part of it, since you've got, all these characters doing something, fighting a common enemy or whatever at the same time. But you've also got the individuality of the different characters and, what they do in a fight, for instance. And, people could have their favorites and they could, you arrange the queuing so that if people really wanted to, ride in one car versus the other.
Right.
This would
kind of like waiting for the first car on Rock and Roller Coaster, right?
Yeah. So you have a space there if they really, really wanted to ride in the Baymax car, they could do that. But, each one would be a unique and different experience, but nobody would get short shrift, really.
Right.
For the action. So, yeah. And like I said, I don't know where I'm going to put this. Hollywood Studios would be a fun place, I think. You know, if we ever get rid of the Rock and Roller Coaster, then maybe in that space.
That's blasphemy.
I know. I love that coaster too. But
no, that's my Blue Sky Big Hero 6 concept actually was headed for that same space. I mean, now that they've dashed my hopes of the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster, since they're putting the Guardians of the Galaxy ride in Epcot, you know, I still desperately want to see Rock and Roller Coaster rethemed. It just doesn't, the more that Hollywood Studios as a park changes, the less well it fits there. But it needs to be a fairly high intensity coaster experience. I think it belongs there. And so my idea with Big Hero 6 was maybe a little bit less ambitious in terms of effects than Eric's was. But my thinking, I really wanted an attraction that played on the sensation of, you know, Hero on Baymax's shoulders while Baymax flies. And what I wanted to see was something that blended. I kind of had two different concepts that I was playing with. And so one of the more recent coaster sort of, I don't know that's hugely innovative, but somewhat innovations from Disney was the sort of gently swaying cars for the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, right? And then the other sort of hot thing in roller coasters these days is the sort of, I guess along the lines of the Iron Man coaster that they've done out in Hong Kong, right? Where you kind of lay down to ride. So, and then of course you've got the whole spinning coaster like you have at, in Animal Kingdom, right? On,
Primeval Hurl.
Yes. Primeval Hurl. That's the one. All right. So here's what I ended up with. What if instead of ride vehicles that sway side to side, what if you get strapped into this coaster standing up, and then depending on the way the coaster, you know, uses the physics of, you know, throwing you around at various points, you are either upright or laying down, and at various points flying through the coaster prone. And at other points, you know, maybe as you climb, right, you end up coming back up, standing upright. And, you know, focused more on actual physical sensation. All of the theme parks now do such amazing things with projection and simulation. Sometimes I think they get, too excited to use their own new toys. And so although those do create cool ride experiences, I know at least for me, three or four of those in a row and I'm done for the day. It's just overwhelming. You know, I get that kind of nauseous, you know, seasick feeling. And I think that getting back to practical effect attractions would, you know, it helps, ultimately helps those virtual attractions stand out better on their own, right? When everything's a virtual attraction, each of the virtual attractions is diminished. So that was my concept. You know, don't have quite as much detail, but that was roughly the idea. It's still an intense coaster. You could even do some, you know, funky, you know, in-moment rolls and that kind of thing, but with a vertical sway. All right. So a couple of Big Hero 6. Does anybody else have a Big Hero 6 concept?
I didn't.
Okay. All right. So let's go in another direction. We talked about Moana, Big Hero 6, Doctor Strange. Anybody else have any other Marvel concepts?
Everyone for Guardians.
Okay. So again, we're blue skying. So big deal. So what? We have a Guardians attraction already at DCA. We've got one announced for Epcot, but this one, you know, we could put it anywhere and there are other properties that are in more than one park. So why not?
Yeah. I hadn't really read about the Epcot one. So for all I know, I'm duplicating, you know, what they're talking about. So I wanted to do like a flight simulator kind of thing, again, using the same not quite the same technology as what they use for Star Tours, and not quite what they use for Mission Space. I want the more intense ride of Mission Space. I want the enclosed capsule with a small crew, because I want a variety of missions, but I want mission failure to be an option.
Okay.
Like, so you'll get assigned, you know, you are playing the part of Star-Lord. You are playing the part of Rocket. And if you've got Rocket, the controls in front of you, you are trying to shoot things while you're on the ride experience. Star-Lord is not trying to shoot things. That's not his job. You know, maybe on one of the ones, Star-Lord, his job is to turn on the radio at appropriate times and cue up certain music. Yeah. Because that would be a Star-Lordy kind of thing to do as far as the movies are concerned.
Okay.
But I wanted to be something where, like, Mission Space, I love the orange ride. I love the intensity. I love the experience. I hate the fact that you can't fail. It bugs me. It really bugs me. That,
although that's going to change. You've heard that, right?
No, but as the ride has been, you could ride it solo. And like, oh, look, we still land successfully. I can't touch all the controls. I can get three people. But
can't
I can't
actually reach all the controls.
Right. Three of them you can do from the right seat, but four, no, it doesn't work. I would love to see a simulator ride that you can fail, that you can, you know, and it's a different ending. You succeed, you get away from the bad guys, or you've saved the galaxy, whatever, or you fail and, well, I guess we didn't really need that planet. Good job. Well, you know, I want to see something like that. So okay. That was just kind of like my, quick thought. I would love, like I said, I'd love to see an intense, it's going to be a virtual ride, but it's a very mobile virtual ride.
You know, right. Again, and I like that you're focused there on the sort of the attitude of the characters and on the persona of the characters instead of just the visuals.
Right. And the Mission Space, you know, you're pushing two buttons and it, you know, it's the left button and the right button. I think they're off the same order for all four positions, but I'm not positive. So it's really the first time it's you, I push the left button. No. You know, each position should be distinctly different and have a different role that isn't a push your left button now. Give me something different to do.
Yeah, that's just begging for a Groot thing, you know. I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. No.
I think it'd be funny if you're Groot, it's just, you know, your pre-flight thingy is I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. And then you get in, you have no idea what to do.
Now you're talking. That's good stuff.
Oh no, there you go. Now, too bad. I apologize in advance for my profession, my former profession, I guess. But, you know, wouldn't it be great to have, you know, the lawyers would squash it, but to have the entire pre-ride safety spiel given by Groot?
Awesome.
With, you know, Rocket, like, frantically miming behind him.
That would be fun. Here's the ride. Here's the waiver. Sign this first. we have a note right here.
You have to sign it before you ever come in the park.
Only in California, where everything causes cancer.
Right.
Okay. So we digress. What's new? All right. So there was another Guardians pitch. You know, there are a few other Marvel characters that might be interesting just because they're, you know, characters that are possible for Walt Disney World because they're not, you know, they aren't characters that are in use at Universal. And I know that there's always this argument about how far Universal's, you know, contractual limitations extend, but it seems to me that Disney has at least a reasonable argument for both Ant-Man and Black Panther. In the parks at Walt Disney World, because there's no real direct connection between either of those characters and the characters that are in use in Universal. Did anybody happen to have anything either Ant-Man or Black Panther based?
I'll be quite honest with you. I've never seen either one of those.
I was,
Black Panther's not out.
Get thee to Netflix.
I was thinking about Ant-Man just, you know, as another one of these, you know, shrink people down VR type rides. It's been done. So there's not much original to it, but if you could inject the kind of humor that went along with the movie, it might be a reasonable play to make.
I was thinking more along the lines of a dark ride that used the trackless vehicle, style of car. And that way you could do you could do a whole segment. I mean, it gives you flexibility to do a lot of things, but you could do something like one of those segments where, you know, Ant-Man's chasing after or running away from something and, you know, go through the whole evolution from, you know, giant man to Ant-Man to riding on an ant. And you could do some funky things now with the kinds of projections that they can do combined with, you know, that sort of frantic, trackless dark ride vehicle, you know, which basically everybody would at the same time feel like they were Ant-Man, but everybody else was the ants, right? So all the other vehicles and you are just sort of scattering around as you go down this track, kind of like that feel of you know, Ant-Man in the swarm of ants.
That could be cool. Now,
yeah, I like that.
I was thinking kind of like a coastery kind of ride where, you know, you're Ant-Man on a wasp zipping through the city trying to stop a crime or catch up with something or whatever. But the only I kind of stopped when, but whatever the script is, because there has to be an audio script for the whole thing, narrated by Michael Peña.
The whole thing. Absolutely.
And like 1,000% you will stop in front of a projected face, you know, some huge giant face saying, "Ant-Man, you need to get to the bank." Except, you know, it'd be like a 14-year-old girl voiced by Michael Peña, and you will get there. The whole thing, every single word in that ride that comes from narration has to be him doing that whole, like, "So then I saw this guy," you know. I would ride that multiple times just for that.
Yes, that would be wonderful. And then like, at some point as an April Fool's prank, somebody would have to slip him in as as the narrator for Spaceship Earth. doing the Jeremy Irons script. Okay. Anybody else with any either Ant-Man or Black Panther concepts? Black Panther's kind of hard because we've only seen him as a side character so far. You know, his own movie hasn't come out yet, but we've gotten a little bit from him, you know, from what we've seen of him in Avengers.
Yeah, I think he's I was just going to say, I think he's a great character. He doesn't really have like an iconic vehicle or, you know, and I guess kind of a set.
Right. We haven't been introduced to Wakanda yet, so we don't really have a place for him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, something like that could just, you know, be in Epcot, for instance, just, you know, take over, one of the big,
The random outpost, right? The pseudo Africa outpost could get a real pseudo Africa.
Yes, it could be Wakanda. Yes.
Hey, if they can have Arendelle, they could have Wakanda.
Yeah, it's just sure. As realistic.
Some vibranium cocktail or something over there.
There you go.
Yeah, I asked my daughter about this one actually because I asked her opinion on a couple of things and she said, what could be kind of cool with Ant-Man is you remember the old Honey, I Shrunk the Kids playground area?
Yeah.
So basically what you would do is you would do a Marvel Universe pavilion and have like an Ant-Man playground where everything's super oversized. Maybe there's a giant Thomas the Tank Engine or, you know, stuff from the movie.
Right.
To recognize. Then like Daredevil would be an area that you try and navigate in near complete darkness or using VR goggles or something, that there would be some sort of acrobatic thing for Black Panther, that you're trying to do something like go through an obstacle course kind of thing. So she was thinking like a big play area where you do different things from different characters as opposed to rides. I thought that was kind of neat, but I couldn't figure, like, well, how many characters can you fit? And you'd need probably 5 or 6 different things to do. And after we're done with Ant-Man, Black Panther, I guess Daredevil, who else do we have? that you're not going to run into Universal going, no, Spidey's ours. Or,
you know. Well, yeah, I mean, you've got Defenders characters, but I don't know that those are really going to work well in theme parks just because the television shows that the Defenders are being used in are certainly not anything close to kid-friendly.
What? It'd be like, Daredevil's it'd be like not doing, for kids?
Well, it'd be like doing a Deadpool-based thing, you know? It's just not quite.
Yeah, it's just kind of problematic. Somehow I feel like, doing theme park cage matches with a Daredevil theme just wouldn't quite work.
So now it might work, but only for a limited time. Deadpool popping up in one of these, you know, Marvel properties during the spiel and I go, superhero landing, they're going to do it, and then leaving.
All right, so that kind of runs us out of Marvel characters for the most part. There are a few other films out there that haven't really gotten an expression in theme parks yet that, you know, are of the sort that we might expect them to, right? They did good business. They were successful enough that you would think we would probably see them by now. I think the one that people have been grumbling about for the longest is The Incredibles. A movie that's nearly 15 years old, but rumors aside of, you know, some Incredibles attraction coming at some point or almost ready to come or whatever, you know, we still haven't seen it. Did anybody come up with an Incredibles attraction?
Well, you know, I was thinking about something based on Mrs. Incredible, but it was kind of a stretch.
I had a very rough idea. The problem is we only have one film.
Right. So far.
They have said the second film starts pretty much right where the first left off. And they've confirmed, I guess, that the Underminer will be there and Frozone is going to come back. You know, most of the original cast is going to reprise their vocal roles.
Right.
Dash is being done by somebody different. And I assume Jack-Jack probably as well. But Jack-Jack doesn't say much, so... what I was thinking is, again, going back to the Star Tours vehicle idea.
Right.
Primarily because it's something where, again, it's a projection and they've shown that they can choose multiple missions. So design a series of missions around Incredibles. And you want to use a ride vehicle that is fairly nondescript on the inside. So it's not, you know, it's not Frozones or Mr. Incredibles. But then projected onto the screen, hey, it's Frozone, and you're off on a mission with Frozone. But the next time, maybe you're off on a mission with Dash, and you're racing through the city. And so, you know, Frozone is going to tilt up and down, and you want it the back end to fishtail because you're sliding on ice and whatnot. Dash, you want something to feel like you're moving forward fast. So yeah,
right.
But it really was a. We don't have a whole lot of wealth to draw from. We have one movie, and it's not even, you know, it was a superhero movie, but it really would have worked without powers.
Well, it was a superhero dynamic. Movie, but it was really a family relationship movie. So you don't have quite as much to draw from because, you know, the family arguing in the vehicle just doesn't quite make it as a theme park attraction. It's more what you experience on your way to the theme park.
Yes. I'm going to turn the vehicle around. People, stop fighting.
Don't make me reach back there.
It's Incredibles, the ride. They strap 8 of you into a van, and it just drives around the property for a while.
There you go. Incredibles, the ride. It's just one of the brand new minivans with my family in it.
Although these explode sometimes.
Well, you got to have some randomization.
Can't be always the same.
All right. So that was a little bit about Incredibles. The other one that, you know, gets rumored about now and then, and we still haven't seen the attraction yet, a movie that did well and has another one on the horizon, Wreck-It Ralph. Anybody have a Wreck-It Ralph, you know, Blue Sky concept?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right, well, first of all, I'm going to dump it into Tomorrowland because I hate Stitch's Great Escape. And look, it's a nice big footprint area, right? So it's gone.
Well, actually, it's not that big. Stitch's Great Escape, that's its problem, right? Is that it's a kind of a relatively small, funny-shaped space, and they've had a hard time coming up with another attraction that can make use of the space without having to do demolition and rebuilding.
Well, we're going to demo and rebuild, but that's okay.
The beauty of the Blue Sky. Exactly.
So the idea was a roller coaster. I wanted the ride to feel be as nice, smooth, swaying as Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. But you're in a video game, and so I don't really want things to be 3D. You are Ralph or accompanying Ralph through various video games. So when you go into the Pac-Man area, that area, the screen, it's basically a flat wall that Pac-Man is being projected onto, or basically a version of Pac-Man as Ralph would experience it. But it's that we can project Pac-Man on this one, and then we do Burger Time on that one, and we do Street Fighter on another. If Disney could actually get the rights to do a bunch of these, again, we can go back to, we've got 5 or 10 different areas. We can do 5 or 10 different random video games every time. And so then your coaster is different because of what you see along the way.
You can do it in 8-bit, so the projection isn't that difficult, right?
Actually, I would love to see one of them glitchy. As you go through it, game over. Do something weird. And things can glitch on occasion. Like Pac-Man doesn't always glitch, but sometimes it does.
Right. Very nice. I like that. And it would make sense because the glitch is a part of the story in the original Wreck-It Ralph.
Right. And I figured it's a video game. Don't try and make it look too real. I don't want it to look real. Make it an homage to the old arcade games of old, the 80s and the time before the internet. That's that kind of thing. The kids today, don't understand.
Yeah, that's why I said 8-bit. It was partly joking and partly not. I mean, you want to keep that authenticity of what it was like in the beginning days.
Yeah, these aren't crappy graphics. This is what it's supposed to look like.
No, really, look, here's a screenshot of Pac-Man. It really does look like that.
Yeah.
You can count the pixels.
Well, we can thank Minecraft for the fact that our kids' ages, right, don't automatically think anything in 8-bit looks awful.
That's kind of true.
Good point.
Although I showed my kids the original graphics for Pong.
Wow.
Look at that. Like, what is this? Pong? What's that? Well, it's kind of like a tennis match. No, really, what is it? Pong. Trust me, it's classic.
And what's the next screen?
It's this. It's like real life. More it just gets harder and faster, and then you die.
Father of all video games.
All right. Well, now there's one more property here that came up in our sort of pre-show brainstorming that probably ought to at least mention. Actually, I guess two. And they're in some ways related, I guess, only in that they're both animal-based properties. And that is that we've got Jungle Book, which did well enough in its sort of live action CGI hybrid format that we actually got a short-lived Jungle Book themed element in the Animal Kingdom in that show that sort of was the filler until Rivers of Light was ready. And then we also have Zootopia, which is sort of the opposite approach to an animal film, right? I mean, if it's not going to do CGI verisimilitude, instead, it's going to be anthropomorphic animals, acting and talking like people. But both of these films did very well in the box office, the kind of box office numbers that usually would result in Disney pursuing some role for them in the park somewhere. And we really don't have permanent presences at this point for anything Jungle Book or Zootopia. So did anybody come up with a concept for either of those properties that, that might fit in somewhere?
I had a thought about Jungle Book, actually. Out of Animal Kingdom, you've got the Wilderness Express train that takes you out to Rafiki's Planet Watch.
Right.
And I was thinking that train ride might be better if you had, you know, a film with the voice actors from Jungle Book, you know, giving you a little spiel about what you're going to see and do out there. I also understand that there's a segment of the population that would listen to Idris Elba say anything for, you know, the length of a train ride or right. longer. So you have a potential draw there, but, you know, theme things to kind of get people thinking about, you know, what they're going to see out there. They're going to be, you know, petting some animals. They're going to be, you know, potentially seeing maybe some of the animals that were in the Jungle Book out there as, you know, part of a retheming of that area, you know, have a more, you know, up close and personal look at those animals.
Sure.
We just have it, yeah, it's not, I don't think a lot of people get out there, and, you know, having something to draw more folks out there might be a good thing. And so I think, you know, pulling in this property, which, as you said, was very successful in the theaters, may be the ticket for that.
Right, right. I like that. It's subtle. It's not a huge deal, but, you know, it's a way to involve a well-beloved film in the park in some way, and maybe liven up a part of the park that could use a little livening up.
Yeah, a little more entertainment to go along with your education.
There you go. Little attainment for your edu.
Exactly.
Anybody else do anything with Zootopia in particular or Jungle Book?
I had something for both, but
all right, let's hear about it.
Well, which one do you want?
Surprise me.
Okay. We don't have Zootopia yet. So, this one comes from my daughter. So I want to give credit to her. She said she wanted to see a ride where you were like a ride along with Judy Hopps. And so it starts out, it's your ride vehicle goes slow, that it feels like, you're going faster than, it's a small world, but you're not really moving all that quick. And you're driving through the city and you go through the small rodent area and small mammal area, and you go through another area, and then the radio barks on, you know, calling all cars, you know, that so-and-so is spotted at such and such. Oh, that's us. We've got to go. And then, you know, the front of the ride vehicle lights up with the lights and siren comes on, and then boom, the car starts moving. And now it becomes more of a low-key thrill ride that you are in hot pursuit of the bad guy.
Okay. And so I like this a lot. And what I like about it so much is that it seems strange to me that as a park, Animal Kingdom is short on dark ride experiences. I mean, there's the new Navi River Journey, arguably Dinosaur, but it's a little intense for a dark ride experience. And that's about it.
Yeah. And so this is, she didn't want it to feel like anyone was in danger. You know, you're the cop, you know, you're the good guy, you're going to get the bad guy. Nothing's going to jump out at you. But yeah, you go through the whole chase scene. It's flash, flash, 100-yard dash that you've caught at the end kind of thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I like this a lot. I like this a lot. I think that's and I think it's a good use of the property because it fits narratively, right? It would make sense for Judy Hopps to be on patrol in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. I don't know where I'd put it in Animal Kingdom, but there's plenty of space.
Oh yeah, it's Animal Kingdom. There's lots of room. Those hyenas, you know, they'll move over.
Sure. It's right next to the wild dog exhibit. Those are fine.
All right. Well, So does anybody else have any other concepts that they have up their sleeves that we haven't talked about yet?
Actually, I do, and I haven't spoken up in a while, so I think this will be a good time for me to do that.
All right, let's hear about it.
Well, I'm thinking about how they deployed Pirates of the Caribbean in DisneySea, where you have your ride vehicle that goes into these 180-degree screens. But then while that's going on, you have the ability to rotate the screens and the ride vehicles around. And I think that is a really cool concept that they have yet to deploy here in the U.S. So what if you took a classic like, Alice in Wonderland. Alice is one of my personal favorite Disney characters. What if you had a ride like that where you could revisit a Disney classic that doesn't get any love and have a ride vehicle, let's say it's the Mad Hatter's Hat, that in between scenes has the ability to free spin, more or less like a teacup kind of experience. But then, you lodge into the different scenes, whether it's the Cheshire Cat, whether it's the Tea Party, what have you, in that full 180-degree screen that's just really meticulously done artistically. I think that would be a really interesting concept for a dark ride that, it doesn't all have to be thrill rides, and Disney doesn't do a whole lot in terms of thrill rides. So this would be a way to do that and revisit an old property.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it sounds cool. I couldn't think of anything to do for that stuff without, like, here's some strong pills to take before you ride.
Here's some hallucinogens. Please take
these. Again, adventure ride into the, this is no longer a family-friendly ride.
But there's nothing that says you can't use visualizations and all of the different 3D tricks to make you feel like you've taken some hallucinogens. You know, there's a lot you can do with that. Plays on the imagination that can give you that experience. And even in the transition in between scenes, but have something really as artistically well done as, I don't know if you've seen any of the YouTube videos of the Pirates ride in DisneySea, but it, just amazing graphics. And there's no reason you couldn't do the same sort of thing, in that kind of a setting.
Sure. Sure. Anybody else have any other last ideas here that we haven't gotten to yet?
Well, I was thinking about an upcoming movie, Jungle Cruise, but I don't see how you can make that into a ride.
Yeah, I just don't get that one.
There's already a Jungle Cruiser.
Doesn't make any sense.
Are they going to have all the bad jokes that go along with that in the movie?
I hope so.
Me too.
If they weren't going to, why would you make the movie?
I know.
Nobody really, had any particular concepts for it. And that is, we didn't hear any suggestions for restaurants at all. And I guess I can leverage the fact that not that anybody actually paid attention, but there was another Pirates movie released to renew my begging for a pirate-themed character meal on one of the plethora of bodies of water all over Walt Disney World.
I think that would be amazing.
Yeah. Right. I mean, how many different pirate, sort of milieu exist somewhere in the Disney universe? Right. I mean, you've got the Pirates of the Caribbean, the Pirates of the Caribbean ride pirates. You've got the Pirates of the Caribbean movie pirates, which are related, but not identical. You've got, Captain Hook. You've got Jake and the Neverland Pirates, which again, related to Captain Hook, but not identical. So many of these great little pirate characters, or not even little pirate characters, some of these are huge characters in terms of the company's history, and kids love them, and they're a great counterbalance to, half a dozen princess meals all over property, but, no pirate character meal, ever.
What's there for the little boys?
I just don't get it.
When they were talking about a new restaurant coming into the Magic Kingdom a few years ago before they did the Jungle Cruise, the canteen, I actually said that I wanted a pirate themed restaurant.
Right.
That, it's Captain Hook's ship that's run aground, and he and Smee are basically, Smee, we've got to sell these landlubbers another 20 meals before we can get the money to buy the new sails, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But have it as a character experience. And then you could do it as a breakfast where it's Jake and the Neverland Pirates. And then the other two.
Oh, there you go. And get more mature as the day goes on. So you get to the, you don't get to the scary pirates till nighttime.
Yeah. You could do Jake in the morning, Peter and Captain Hook at noon. And then at nighttime, it's Barbossa and Jack. Or you know, if you could get the, figure out a decent way to have the undead pirates wander around. Great.
Well, sure. And then by dinner time, you can serve beer.
Exactly. And okay. If you've been to medieval times, you know that the only food that is served there, you have to eat with your hands. They don't give you utensils, and that you can do the same thing here.
All finger food.
All finger food.
Right in.
You really might want to wash your hands before you start it on this.
I dipped them in the water at Jungle Cruise. It's all good.
Yeah, I stuck my hands out in the backside of water.
That water's hygienic. I'm sure of it.
Yes. Hygienic, hallucinogenic, one or the other. I forget what the skipper said.
Smell like something.
I dragged my hands in the water on the pirate's ride. We're good.
All right. We digress rather aggressively. But what are you going to do? I'll tell you what you do. You tell us your ideas that are even better than ours. You email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com, and leave a comment. Tweet us at DizDads Podcast on Twitter, or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. And by the way, if you've got an extra minute or so, we'd really appreciate it if you left us a review on whatever service you use to listen to the show, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, whatever it is. Leave a review. It just makes it easier for the next person to find the show, because when they search for, you know, Disney, Dad, Podcast, whatever, even though all of those things are search terms that ought to bring up our show, if there aren't recent reviews, we get bumped down in the rankings. So recent reviews makes it easier for people to find us. More people listen, more people give us ideas, and hey, you get better content from us. So please do leave reviews if you can. Until next time, I've been Aaron Ripmaster with Eric Anderson.
Bye, folks.
Richard Grady.
Night, everyone.
And Tim Hicks.
See you real soon.
Special thank you to Kevin MacLeod. Our outro music is Whiskey on the Mississippi that Kevin releases on incomptech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution. Thank you, Kevin.